rejoice and be exceedingly glad about that. Let's give the Lord a hand praise together. Oh, come on, let's lift up a praise unto our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While we're standing together in the presence of the Lord, would you join with us that we might say together our call to worship, which can be found there in the front of your church bulletin. Let us lift our voices in praise unto God by saying together our call to worship. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our youth choir is in position and ready to praise God through the ministry of music. We pray that as you're standing together, you will lift your voices and praise him. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Sing choir. Come on, let's bless the Lord. The Lord. The psalmist declared, I will bless the Lord at all times. and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Would you bless the Lord with me? Come on and bless the Lord. Oh, come on, let's bless the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, bless the Lord with me. Bless the Lord with me. And let us lift up his holy name. Oh, come on and praise the name. Praise the name of Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Wonder working power. Healing power. Delivering power. In God all right? In the all right? Give God the praise this morning. Oh, some of y'all act like you ain't got nothing to praise God for. He woke you up this morning and started you on your way. I said he woke you up this morning. There's no power in the alarm clock. The power is in the name of Jesus. Somebody ought to tell him, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah this morning. I'm so glad that he lifted me. Anybody know that he lifts you? Anybody ever been in trouble? Isn't he a very present help? Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you so much this morning. Let us continue to worship this morning. There is a hint of coldness in the air. Amen. I told folk a long time ago that I didn't want to be in no cold church. I want to be in a hot church. Amen. I want to be in a church where the fans are necessary part of the worship service. Amen. Amen. If you want a cold church, I'm going to have to suggest to you another venue. Amen. Let us bless the Lord together. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. And we pray unto God. Father, we thank you so much for again allowing us the opportunity, for giving us, Lord, the responsibility to worship and to praise your holy and magnificent name. Father, now we invite you, as we know, Lord, that you're already here. But Lord, we want you to feel welcome in this place. God, we are so thankful this hour that again you've put breath in our bodies, given us the activity of our limbs. Moreover, Lord, you've forgiven us of our sins, and you've been merciful unto us. We've come here into this place with a joyful heart, filled with thanksgiving, love. You gave your life for us. Now, Lord Jesus, we desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, would you remove any pretense, any phoniness about our worship? Would you remove it, Lord, because we want to be truthful. We don't want to live a lie in your presence. We want to be honest with you. So whatever it takes, Lord, would you remove it right now? The anger, the jealousy, strife, the frustration. Just the events of life, Lord, that oftentimes weigh us down. Would you cause us now to forget those things and to focus on you? We realize even right now that if we ask, you'll give it unto us. As we're standing all over this place, Lord, we're standing in reverence and adoration. But we want you, Lord, to have your way with us. Examine us. Then cleanse us. From the crown of our heads to the soles of our very feet. Make us, mold us to that which you would have us to be. For it's all about you, Lord, and we've come. We've come not out of obligation, but we come because we desire to be in your presence. We pray, God, that if there is one today, or two, three, or four, that need to be saved, Lord, save right now. Your power, your matchless power would be demonstrated in this place, that the people will know you in a more special way. Have mercy on us. Be thou with us now and throughout the continuance of this experience, for it is an experience, Lord, and we desire to participate in our salvation in this place. The redeemed of the Lord are saying amen. 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 And amen. thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we are excited and glad to be in the presence of God once again here at this great and awesome place where the Lord is doing a new thing. And we want to extend to our Bible and Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah chapter 55. The Old Testament of the Bible. Amen. If you don't have your Bible with you, would you share with your neighbor that we might read together? We stand in reverence to the Word of God and stand because we want to, not because anyone forces our hand, but we reverence His Word and we adore Him, so we stand. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1, and I'm going to read from the international text, and you follow us with your preferred version of the Holy Word. The Word declares, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed." God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of God.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us have the opportunity to be in this church house one more time. And Lord, I pray for the elderly and the sickness people, that they are healed, Lord. And I pray for the pastor's family, and I pray for everybody else's family in this church house. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
God
bless you.
Choir, Sister Long and Sister Reed, for their diligence in the training of our young voices. Church, say amen.
Amen.
This time we are going to prepare, as we continue to worship the Lord, to present our tithe, our offering, and our seed offering unto the Lord. We pray that you have considered your reasonable service unto the Lord, for we know that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I don't know about that. The Lord loves a cheerful giver.
And
amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor,
smile when you give.
Amen. God bless you. We're going to ask the ushers to come, and we're going to ask our trustees to prepare the table to receive from the people of God as they have purposed in their hearts to give. Will you stand to your feet with us that we might pray unto God together as they are coming? Remember, as you prepare to present your tithe today and your offering as well as your seed offering, that those of you who have purposed today to present your seed offering, please take the opportunity to write on your envelope seed offering and to separate that from your tithe offering or your general offering. We encourage all of you to utilize the envelopes that we might properly keep accountability for the gifts and the giving of God's people. Our seed offering is to build a greater church and a greater people. Our tithe is given unto the Lord as we have responsibly answered his call. And we present unto the Lord an offering above that which we tithe or present by seed offering. Please consider your reasonable service unto the Lord. Let us pray together unto God. Precious Father, we thank you now for this opportunity to give. We thank you, God, for giving us the means to give. You have blessed us with all that we have and all that we call our own, realizing that every gift comes from on high. We receive it, Lord, in the faithfulness that you have entrusted it to our hands. We pray, God, for stewardship among this people, that we might be responsible in our giving and our living. Bless it now as we prepare to present it, as it has received by the tables here. We pray that you will bless and charge the hands of responsibility, that they might do those things that are pleasing in your sight for the building of your kingdom and this people. Lord, we realize even now that this that we have, you gave us, and we only give back a portion, and our thankfulness and our faithfulness unto you. Bless it now according to your word and your power. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Quickly, we want to share some information with you. Tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. at the 8th Street Church here in the city, we will be celebrating our Martin Luther King worship service. This is going to be held at the 8th Street Church, and we want to invite you to come by and to be a part of the worship experience. The Reverend Willie Smith, who is the chaplain at Central Health and the associate minister at Diamond Hill, will be our preacher of the evening. And we invite you to come out and to be a part of that celebration. Also on Monday at 10 a.m., there will be a march that will begin at the Health Center and will conclude at the Martin Luther King Center in Pittman Plaza. And we're encouraging you to come out if you feel strong enough to walk. We want you to come out and to be a part of that event that is going on as part of our celebration on Monday. Of course, children will not be in school, and the theme of the year has been that it is a day on and not a day off. And we encourage you to come out and to be a part of the celebration. Also, we want to remind you that on Monday is a continuing part of the events. There are going to be freedom rides that are conducted that you might tour historical places in our city. We also are going to have a movie viewing, which is going to be held at the community room. Excuse me. We also have an activity that is going on at Lynchburg College at 3:30 p.m. That will include a guest speaker and an assembly there at the college campus. We want to encourage you. That begins at 3:30 p.m. And then a celebration, culmination of the events, Monday night at 7 o'clock at E.C. Glass Auditorium. We have a very, very fine speaker who is going to come in. Dr. Patricia Russell McLeod is going to come and share with us. It's going to be an awesome event. You don't want to miss the Monday night event, and certainly you don't want to miss an opportunity to worship on Sunday. We are encouraging you to come out. Our lawn display exhibit opens today from 2 to 4 at Lynchburg College at the, I think it's Dura Gallery, Dura. And y'all ought to spell it like that over there then. But it's, let me tell you something. You should go by there. How many of you have seen the lawn display already? Amen. It is some kind of awesome. And Brookville Church is well represented as the only church that is represented. You ought to be proud of yourself. Amen. Amen. Go over and see what our young people and our adults have done. I went by on Friday afternoon, and Sister McCoy and Sister Tweedy and Sister Thomas were working diligently. And I understand our young people participated well, and Brother Lewis Tucker, who we left holding the bag for a little while, but he came through for us, and they put a little pressure on Lewis, but he handled it. He thought about coming to hunt me down for a minute, but he changed his mind. But we want you to go by and see that. And the judges have already rendered their point tallies, and I think Sister Ingram knows who won, but she won't tell me yet. But go by and see. It's marvelous. They're huge, and the participation, I believe, was pleasing. So go by and to see how Brookville finished up. And if Sister Ingram won't tell me, if she didn't help us out a little bit, we'll call her in the office and talk to her about it. But amen. But go by and see that. There are some great events going on Monday, and we really want you to be a part of that. So get up early and enjoy the day as we celebrate the history of Dr. Martin Luther King and those things that have been done for us as a people of God together. Amen. So tonight at 7, the 8th Street Baptist Church. Tomorrow morning at 10, the March of the Millennium begins. And you can go by and check out the lawn displays this afternoon from 2 to 4. And then on Monday at 3:30, you can go by the college. It's, what is that, Sindow Chapel? How do you say that? Snyder? Why y'all have all them hard names over there? What about Smith or Johnson and stuff like that? Johnson Chapel. But come by the chapel at 3:30. And then at 7 at the E.C. Glass High School Auditorium, Dr. Patricia Russell McLeod is our guest speaker. Please come by and participate. Amen? Amen. Choir is going to sing, and we shall continue to worship our awesome God. Also want to remind you, I know it's something I forget. On next Saturday at 10 o'clock a.m., we had to reschedule our church school meeting. All of the persons who have been chosen as instructors for our church school, as trainers, at 10 o'clock on next Saturday, excuse me, the 29th, January the 29th at 10 o'clock, we're going to have our training session, which had to be rescheduled because of a funeral that I had to attend at 10 o'clock on the 29th. So write that down, trainers and teachers, so we can come together, all of our church school team members. Also, those of you who participated in VBS, we need you to come by also, so that we can develop our plan for the 2000 year of our training, Christian education. We want to come in and get everybody on the same sheet of music, that we might be together and be creative in our training. We don't want to be flat in our training. We want to excel in our training. So if you're not sure that you're on that list, you can come by and see us, and we'll make sure that you know what you have been nominated to do or what you've been asked to do. Is that okay? Amen. God bless you. Same.
As I look back over my life, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. As I look back over my life,
Let us pray together. Precious God, we thank you again for this moment of preaching that has come. Pray now, Father, that your spirit, your power will move in this place. That you, Lord, would speak to me and through me, that I might in turn say unto this people all the words of life. Bless us now, God, with preaching power. For, Lord, without your power, there is no preaching. And I pray, God, for this people that have assembled themselves in this place, that they will hear your voice with clarity, that will bring about understanding. It's preaching time. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to us In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Let every heart say amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
We look with me again, if you will, and just for the moment to refresh our memories. Isaiah chapter 55, and you needn't stand. You may remain seated this moment. The Bible declares in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and looking expressly at verse 7, the Bible says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." Would you do me a favor and put a smile on your face? Give some of y'all a few more seconds to work on that. Sometimes, Sister Scott, it takes a little preparation to get a smile. Smile. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor."
Neighbor.
That's more y'all in here than that. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Pastor is going to preach.
Pastor's going to preach.
An offer. You can't refuse. Amen. Now, I am convinced of God that all of us at one time or another in our lives have been offered something. And it is the choice of the individual as to what he or she will do with that offer. Some offers have been described as being irresistible. Others are described as being tempting. And then there are those offers that have not a chance at all of being even considered. Now, I want you to think for a moment, if you will, for the sake of preaching. You will remember how it is that you came to the place that you stand right now. For many of us, our invitation to the gospel came at the urging of another. Personally, I remember when I was a boy sitting in the back of the church, how my mother would turn around and look at me every Sunday when the invitation was given. Deacon Clark, when she looked at me, she had that look on her face that was in no ways mistakable. She was saying to me, "Boy, get up here." And Sunday after Sunday, when the pastor would give the invitation, I would begin to pay special attention to my shoelaces, because I knew that as soon as he stood and lifted up both of his hands, my mother would turn and look at me. And for many Sundays, I got away with not coming down front. And I thought that that was the longest walk that I would ever have to take. So I just sat there and did nothing. And immediately when we got outside, and Mama would say, "Why didn't you come down front today?" And I would say to her, "I was thinking about it." And I am convinced of God that even now in these modern times, where the church has certainly been through its troubles, it has had its moments of splendor, but also it has had its moments of difficulty.
And there are always going to be those persons who will make excuses as to why they don't join the church. Well, Sister Foster, I believe I've come up with an ingenious summary of the matter. Y'all don't mind if I go out on a limb, do you? First of all, I am convinced that the reason folk have such a difficult time deciding to join the church is because the priority is not joining the church. Are you with me? I believe that we should have made it clear that before you can be in the church, you've got to be in the Lord. See, that's the problem now, and I'm coming on like I want to here. Ain't gonna take me long either. I'm telling you now that the reason why so many folk procrastinate on decision making when it comes to the offer of God is because too many of us are concerned about membership and not aware of discipleship. And you got folk who have joined the church but have never given their life to the Lord. Oh, I'm right about this. I'm there. You got folk who sit in churches Sunday after Sunday and have no relationship whatsoever with Jesus. You don't have to say amen. Just look at me like you're looking at me and I know I'm right about it. You got folk that will dress up in their finery, will put on makeup, put on perfume, wash their car, put on their deodorant and all of their finery to go to church but never go to be with the Lord. Pick their hair and clean their nails. Open up gum wrappers and peppermints, which may not be a bad idea when you think about it. Depending on how close you are in proximity to your neighbor and how deep the conversation may get. But I'm saying to you, beloved of God, that the problem with joining the church is that you've got your priorities mixed up. The offer that Isaiah speaks of this hour speaks clearly about getting in right relationship with God. The church as we know it was not the church then. It was not established like it is now. There weren't as many churches, and I don't know whether or not we've missed the point that badly, but we've got now more churches but less folk. Amen. And what he says to us is interesting enough to talk about again, because I'm looking at a year of development now, and in order to develop, you got to have disciples. See, church members have too many options. You can do whatever you want when you're a member. If you don't want to pay your dues, you cancel your membership. If you don't like what's going on, you change up and go somewhere else, do something different. But discipleship is identified by dedicated service to your leader. Oh, I ain't talking about the pastor. No, it ain't about me. I'm talking about fellowship and following and faithfulness unto God. See, because I've come to the point in my life where I don't care what church folk do. Ain't nobody going to separate me from the love of Jesus. Are you with me? I made up my mind now to see that after all God has done for me, I owe him too much to wimp out now. See, too many of y'all got a wimpy spirit. Oh, I'm right about it. Hello, lights. Yeah, you got a wimpy spirit in that you are more concerned about what folk think about you than what the Lord says about you. How are you going to feel standing before the Lord when the Lord begins to tell you all about yourself? And you know, when you tell folk about themselves, Sister Ann, they don't like that. No, Jesus, and don't none of y'all do that now. But see, you're not going to be able to say, well, Lord, you know, Sister So-and-so ain't going to be there. As Grandma say, every tub got to stand on its own bottom. Amen. So the offer, it strikes me as interesting. And see what I thought about when I read this text. And I know some of y'all keep up with preaching, and you know, say, Reverend, you've been through there before. Yeah, but I didn't come through it like this. Amen. I'm saying, when I looked at this, I thought about an offer that you ought not refuse. You've seen the movie The Godfather. Vito Corleone sits there, you know, on the day of his daughter's wedding, and And he sits there and folk are coming in asking for favors. I love The Godfather. Every now and then I watch that movie just to get a charge. You know, I like that. I watch that scene, just that scene right there just gets me, you know. Just love to see Vito Corleone sitting behind the desk and folk coming in begging, and they bringing him gifts and presents. And then, you know, my man sitting outside and he's rehearsing his speech because he wants The Godfather to do him a favor. And he's sitting out there in the hallway and, Don Corleone, I come to you on the day of your daughter's wedding to ask you a favor. I bless you on the day. He messes up. He starts, Don Corleone. And everybody's walking by this guy, paying him no attention. And he comes in when his opportunity comes. The Godfather sitting there, Marlon Brando played the role. I thought he was the Godfather. No, Luca Brasi. Luke makes his presentation to the Don, and he talks to the Don, he blesses him, he goes, I give this nice dowry, and he goes out. And then another fellow comes in, and he wants Vito Corleone to make a little headway because he's trying to get a little business started. And the man says to him, he said, well, I need to talk to the Godfather. He said, well, he's going to make you ask you a favor. At some other time, you'll have to do him a favor. The guy said, well, he said, an offer you can't refuse. And I thought about the relationship that we would have with God if he makes us an offer that we can't refuse. See, because if you refuse Don Corleone, it won't be many days before you wind up with a horse head in your bed. And it'll be your best horse. It'll be a good horse. And you can rest assured that when that fellow woke up screaming in the house, everybody knew something was wrong. And then Luca Brasi winds up dead because he's loyal to the Don. And they sent a fish, you know, they sent it to the house. And the guy opened it up and said, oh, what does that mean? He said, that means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. See, that's power. When you got power, you can execute judgment on folks' lives. And they don't have nothing to do about it. I'm thinking to you, beloved God, what if the Lord were to sit before you in some dark and quiet place and make you an offer? You couldn't refuse. What would you say? I'm not talking about your membership now, because I told you too many of y'all came on the wrong system. Whole lot of you, when you came to the Lord, you came and became a member. And you have never invested in discipleship. Some of y'all sitting there looking at me now saying, Reverend, okay, so what? My point is this. What if the Lord called you into accountability for your discipleship? Not your membership, because some of y'all are bragging. I've been in the church all my life. Yes, you have, but how much church is in you? You've been hanging around here and claim your favorite pew, and you got the audacity to roll your eyes at folk who sit where you think you ought to sit. Where do you stand with God? Yeah, the offer, he said, well, first of all, Isaiah, you tell them this. You tell them, first of all, in order to get right with me, they got to come. Look at the name and tell them, you got to come first. The invitation of the prophet of God is clearly stated on these terms, Deacon Johnson. He said that I, the man of God, and the God whom I serve, would like to solicit your attention for just a moment in order that you might consider a relationship with God. He said that I have been given instructions from on high to come before this people and invite you to a life that is beyond your wildest dreams. He says, come. And he said, only those of you who choose not to come will be uninvited. You remember when you were growing up and they had parties in your neighborhood? Take a little time to think back. Some of y'all had a few birthdays. Thank you, Deke. You're all right with me. You remember how it felt to be invited? You know, when you went, when they sent you an invite, somebody said, listen, Ophelia, they're having a party over so-and-so house. You be like, make sure you be, I'm going to be there. And then you pass the word, and everybody got the word. And then, you know, when they got in the crowd, and then somebody didn't invite you, you know how it felt to be uninvited? When they didn't want you to come to the party because you were a wallflower. You didn't know how to dance, and you didn't want to have, you were no fun, so they wouldn't invite you. Remember that?
Don't y'all sit and act like you got invited to every party. To be uninvited was a hurtful thing. And Isaiah said that the Lord is making it clear that everyone is invited to this party. And he said that if you choose not to come, it's your own choice. Are you listening to me? Notice what he said. He said, listen, you must be ensured that the gospel is inclusive, not exclusive. Some of y'all have made church seem like it's a social place. You got folk outside the church thinking that you got to meet a certain criteria to come to the church. Let me tell you something. The reason why all y'all here is because you're sinners. Get mad at me if you want to. I'm going to tell the truth like Grandma said, like at ISU. If you weren't a sinner, you wouldn't be here. Oh, help me somebody. Y'all done got quiet on me. I'm telling you now that the Bible says that the reason he died is for our sin. He didn't die because you smell good. He didn't die because you pretty. He didn't die because you got long black hair. He didn't die because your last name is Smith, Johnson, or McCoy, or Boyd, or Johnson. No, no, no. He died because you qualified because of sin. You can't say amen and say ouch. So he said, listen, it's inclusive because what God has done is looked at us. And he's watched us. You know, you like the part that says he sits high and looks low. But do you know when he looks and he sees everything? You can change your name if you want to. He sees everything. Put on sunglasses. I never understood why folk wear sunglasses in church. Never understood that. Nope, nope, nope. Folk taking off their glasses right now. I'm going to finish here in a minute. But listen, he says, come. And what you must understand is this. See, I've come to the point in my life where I listen to the Lord very intently. Notice what he says, by coming, what is made available to us. He says, you can come to the waters. Now, the interesting thing about water is that you cannot live without water. Are you with me? You cannot survive without water. And if you don't believe me, try. I'm saying to you that I believe that what Isaiah is making clear to us is that the indication is that, first of all, he talks about thirst. It's right there in the text. And when he talks about thirst, he talks about the supplement that will take care of your thirst. He said that you must thirst and come to the water. I am convinced of God that until you thirst, you won't go to the water. That old saying, you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink it. Whole lot of church folk been hanging around the water, but you ain't drinking. Stay with me. Water is so essential that God makes it clear that if you don't drink it, you die. The Bible said that we were dead in our trespasses. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. The Bible said that without him, we were nothing. So it makes me to understand that it is critical. It is a crucial decision that you must make to go to the water. Notice what he said. Then he said, you can get here. He said, and even if you don't have no money. See, and I've heard that excuse before. When folks say, well, Reverend, you know, I would tithe, but I ain't got no money. Is that your Lexus with that personalized tag on it? Those clothes you're wearing, do they really belong to you? Let me show you how real this is. I'm telling you right now, I bet you right now, some of y'all sitting in here right now, what you got on is more than you put in church. Hello, lights. Yeah, what you wearing right now is more than you put in church. If I'm right about it, just say hallelujah. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are still thinking and adding it up, yes, it's going to be more. I mean, I'm there. I'm guilty. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm close. I'm convinced that he said the reason why you can buy it without money is because that's an excuse you don't have. When it comes to God, there are no acceptable excuses. You're not supposed to sit here and try to match nickels and dimes with other folk. That's not the point of the matter. The point of the matter is you have come to accept God based on his offer. I don't go to church because everybody up there don't like me. It ain't their offer. Well, I don't go anymore because they make me sick. It ain't their offer. Stay with me now. I used to go, but they made me mad up there with all that carrying on. It ain't their offer. I would go, Reverend, but you know, y'all stay too long. You ain't got that long to live. Yeah, I'm right about it. You don't have that long to live. You can say what you want, do what you will. I'm telling you now that the more time you spend with God, the better off your life is. Am I right about it? So he said, listen, it ain't about nickels and dimes. Then also notice what he said. He said, you can do this without cost. Do you know that God is not impressed with your wealth? Yeah. Now, before you leave in thinking, well, that's the case, I ain't gonna tithe. No. You don't impress God with what you have. Because he gave it to you. How can you impress somebody with what you have and they already gave it to you? He said you can do this without cost, but the initial thing you got to do is come. Do you know that God appreciates your appearing? Yes, of course he does. Yes, sir. The Bible said, let us forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, such as some have seen how the day grows ever closer. If you ever going to be in church, this is a good time to be here. We were down this week and all the preachers together, we were talking about some things. Everybody was talking about how packed their church was on watch night. Church was packed. I said, yeah, man, we had the same thing. Every pastor down there this week talked about how the church was packed. And I said, you know what's going to be a problem? When they realize that, okay, I'm still alive, the lights didn't go off and everything else is all right, I'm going back to myself. That's a bad choice. You ought to be in church every time you can get in church. Oh, I know I'm right about it. So he said that, first of all, you got to come. And let me tell you something. You can't come because mama say come. Because when mama don't say come, you ain't coming. You can't come because you have an obligation on that Sunday to sing. If that's the case, then there's something wrong with your faithfulness unto God. Well, I might as well go. They're expecting me. No, the Lord is expecting you. So he said, you must come. Then the second thing is, he said, you must consider. And notice what he said. It implies clearly that the decision is on you. If the offer has been made of God, if God has invited you to come and you don't come, that's on you. But why do we expect that if we won't go where God is, we want God to always do stuff for us? Oh, yes, you want the Lord to bless you and to multiply you. You want him to give you prosperity and you want power. And when you need him, you go to him. But then when you get what you want, you forget where you got it from. There's a problem with that. So he said, you got to consider. He said, when you come and then you hear me. Listen, tell your neighbor, you got to hear him. He said, when you hear me, he said, you got to do this in order that you will have life. Two things the Lord offers. First of all, when you come to him, he offers you a full pardon. It's right there in the text. He will give you a full pardon. If there's any person in the house that is not guilty, you don't need a pardon. But if you would declare yourself innocent, I would say to you, my dear friend, that you are not telling the truth. The Bible said that the pardon comes because the Lord knows that we were hostages to our sin. Sin will torment you. It will cause you to be restless. It will cause you to have pain, depression, anxiety. Frustrated folk are folk who don't understand the forgiveness of God. Oh, I'm right about it. You can be frustrated. That's why some folk get mad at you when you worship like you do. When you dance the holy dance and lift up your hands and you shout and praise God, and they look at you and say, it don't take all that. They're frustrated. They can't understand why you celebrate like you do, because they think they know stuff about you. But let me tell you something. All us know something about somebody. Am I right about it? And all we don't know about you, we make it up as we go in order to feel better about ourselves. Your frustration is evident because you haven't been pardoned. You're worried about what's going to happen to you and what judgment is the Lord going to execute in my life, because you don't understand that the Lord has offered you a full pardon. He said, I will forgive you if you ask me to forgive you. And you sit here with your arms folded and rolling your eyes at preaching because you don't understand what the offer is. I'm telling you now that the offer is on the table. You can accept it and live. Or you reject it and die. You don't have to get mad at the deacons. You don't have to get mad at the trustees. You don't have to get mad at the pastor. It's in the Bible. And he said that you must understand that if it's not a full pardon, then what you have is full imprisonment. You have to wait till folk come visit you on visitation day. You have to wait until somebody gives you something in order to supply that which you need, because you're in prison. And see, folk get used to being shackled. They start living shackled lives. It's like that dog that folk, you know, those of you who have dogs, you know, if you got a dog in your yard and you keep him on a chain, and he runs and he yanks himself at the end of that chain. And he does that every day. And after a while, you can take the chain off of him. And he's only going to go so far. Now, after a while, he may realize that the chain is off. But you watch him when he goes beyond that point. You can look in most folk yard and tell how far the chain go. Got a little path there with a dog running from one side of the house. Just bark. And I don't understand that. You know, barking dog on a chain, you can't catch nobody. You know, he just running around. You know, I'm standing at the fence just throwing rocks at him because I know he can't go nowhere. But when you let him off the chain, even when he can, he will go just beyond that point and he'll look back. And you know what? He'll go right back to his place of imprisonment. He's not going to go no further than that. I don't care. He'll go out and come back. He'll go out and come. And that's our problem. If you don't consider the full offer of God, you will never go beyond the limits of your own chain. Some of you will not grow in the Lord because you have imprisoned yourselves. You will not take a chance on church school because of what might be out there. You won't come to Bible study because of what, that's right, you knew it was coming, because of what's out there. But I'm telling you, God offers you a full pardon, and he said, listen, if you accept this offer, you'll have life. Some of us gonna get life, but he said you will have life. Are you with me? Then notice the next thing he said. Listen, not only do I give you a full pardon, but I offer you this as a faithful promise. How many of you have ever had somebody promise you something? Man, a whole lot of y'all lead boring lives. Nobody's ever promised you anything. Sure they have. How many of you ever promised somebody something? How many of you kept your promise? Oh, a whole lot of disappointed folk around here. Listen. He said this is a faithful promise. He said, because what I want you to understand is this. As I promised it to David, he said, and David is my example. And he said, I want you to understand that I made him a promise. And if anybody understood the tender mercies and the promises of God, it was David. David's life is just a potpourri of mistakes, shortcomings, and what might have been. But in the end, God prevailed in David. Whenever God showed up in David's life, he had victory. What David didn't understand was that the promises of God were given long before David even showed up. What you must understand is, as God uses him as an example, is that the promises of God have been given long before you showed up. Don't you understand that Jesus died before anybody ever thought about you? Oh, come on now. Before grandma was even grandma, he died. Before you could even be a dream or glint in somebody's eye, he died. And he died as a faithful promise that whosoever will could ever come unto me. He said, no matter what you have done, I will forgive you. I will pardon you. I will bless you and restore you so that you might live. According to the promise. You living on a promise. You're not here because you're that good. Oh, say amen, somebody. He said, I make the promise. And the mercies of God are such as this. First of all, you must understand that providentially, God already had your number before you were assigned a number. They sat around the hospital ward trying to figure out what name to give you, and God already had your name. Before you even knew what your name was, God already had your name. Now also prophetically, as prophecy goes, you are predestined by God to be a real somebody. But he gives you a choice. Some of us are going to be awesome in our relationship with God. Some of you are going to be strong and mighty. Some of you are going to make great statements for the Lord. And others of us will never live up to that expectation. But it's a choice that you make. You needn't be jealous or envious of anybody in your church. Because I'm here to tell you that the same power that blesses them will bless you. Are you listening to me? If you want to go up, God says you can go up and don't cost you nothing. God said if you want to be somebody, all you got to do is seek my face and you'll be somebody. He said if you really desire a good thing, he said ask me and I'll give it to you without cost. You don't have to learn how to do cartwheels. You ain't got to stand on your head. You don't have to do any of that. All you must do is accept the offer of God. Then lastly, he says this. He said, after you come and you've considered, he said, I want you to understand there is a necessity called conversion. In other words, beloved God, you got to change. How many of you know of and assured of the matter that there are folk in the church that have not changed? Don't raise your hand too high. Folk might think you're trying to say something. You got to change. Listen to me now. I'm going to sit down here. I know you got somewhere to go. If you're a Redskin fan, they already out. They done for. If you're a Dolphin fan, they out. So you ain't got nothing to go home for today. Deacon Johnson, would you remove whoever that was? You see, I'm still wearing blue, don't you? Listen. He said you got to change. Now I want to make this simple, and I'm going to leave you alone today. But listen, if you are in the church, if you're in the body of Christ, my grandfather used to say this, and for a long time I didn't understand what he meant. He always talked about conversion. And he could tell you to the day when he was converted. He would say converted. And I didn't understand that then. But I understand it now. As I got a little older, I understood. Conversion is a word that we don't talk about in the church enough. We talk about being saved and we talk a little bit about salvation. But let me tell you something. You got to be converted. Converted is making a radical change. Stay with me now. See, a whole lot of folk talk about being saved. But saved from what to what? I mean, if you're saved, okay, tell me about being saved. What does being saved mean? Does it mean you got away with something? Hello, lights. It's a little heavy today, ain't it? But what does it mean? I mean, come on now, salvation. I know what salvation is. But I also know what it ain't. Salvation ain't living an excuse before God. Salvation ain't saying, well, Lord, you know how I is. No, that ain't salvation. Salvation ain't saying, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he also knows your hatefulness. Conversion is making a radical change. Paul said, that which I used to do. I'm convinced of God that the reason why verse 7 hits like it does is that he said, notice what he said. Now, I'll leave you alone. Let me see how much time you got. Yeah, you got time. Notice what he said. First of all, he said, let him turn to the Lord. Friends, beloved of God, you must learn this day. You got to get this in your spirit. That when you turn to the Lord, the purpose for turning to him is to go to him. Are you listening to me? I have a problem with folk who just play church. I have a problem with folk who hang around the church and then want to get spiritual when it's convenient, but then get spiritual amnesia when you want to act like you want to act. That's not conversion. Conversion said that if you turn to the Lord, he said, notice what he said, and he will have mercy on him. Now, I'm telling you now that all of us need mercy. Amen. But I'm also telling you now that to be converted means that you have decided that what I was, I can't be that anymore. And if I'm going to accept the offer of God, I've got to accept the offer of God on his terms. See, so many of us want to tell God how we're going to be. It's not what you want to make of yourself, it's what God wants to make of you. See, you want to do it your way, and God said, no, that's not going to get it. Because man has not the ability to save himself. You can't do this. You got to turn to him and go to him. Then secondly, when you turn and go to him, you must remain with him. You cannot have a relationship with God that shows up just on Sunday morning. Hello, lights. If all you got in God is what gets you here on Sunday morning, it ain't enough to get you into heaven. Are you with me? You must understand that the Lord requires a commitment as a part of your conversion. You got to stay with the Lord. And we like to sing a little song that stay with the Lord, it'll pay off after a while. Some of y'all are going to get a zero. Yes, Lord, I'm here to tell you, you must decide for yourself. Isaiah said to the people of God, he said, listen, you've got to turn to him. You've got to understand that the offer is on the table. And God said that when you come, you got to stay. And he said that when you get here, he said, you must understand that the God of your salvation wishes to make this offer to you so that you might live forever. I could tell you all about free stuff. All y'all like free stuff. Free. Buy one, get one free. Buy two, get one free. Buy three, get one free. And you don't need the first one you bought, but you want to get that one free one. And you wind up with three other ones, and then you won't share that with nobody. And you wind up throwing that away. And you go down to the sale, 50% off. 50% off means they just charge you what the original price should have been in the first place. So you like free stuff. And all y'all, we just get in the free, free, free. So he said, listen, it would have been free if you could have went down to Hex at Christmas time and they told you everything was store was free. They wouldn't have lost a dime because some of y'all would have been willing to pay anyhow. And he said, that I want you to understand that the pardon of God is free in so much that you don't have to do anything but show up and claim it for yourself. Are you with me now? Stay here. I'm coming on home now. He said, all you got to do is show up and claim it for yourself. I want to tell you right now, beloved God, that when you come to the church, when you come to the altar, when you give your life to God, it's not about other folks sitting around you, what they think of you. It's not about what folk know about you or what they assume about you. It's not about what you've done in the past. It's not about how you're going to mess up in the future. Because I'm here to tell you now that some of the straightest and squeakiest of us we'll still mess up every now and then. But it's all about the offer of God that he said, if you come unto me, whatever it is, I'll take the big eraser of life and I'll scratch it off the paper and I'll give you a new slate, a new lease on life. I'll give you a new chance to walk right before me. I'll bless you instead of curse you. I'll have mercy instead of judgment. Because if you decide today that you want to be a part of me, baby, I've been waiting for you all of your life to make a decision. I've been waiting for you to get up out of your pew, get out of your high horse and come unto me and give me a chance to bless you like I really want to bless you. Because whatever you've done, it don't matter anymore. I'm the Lord your God that brought you up so that I can bring you out. And if you decide today, if you make up your mind today, you can live and not die. Folk are dying sitting right next to you on Sunday morning. Folk are dying in your prayer life. And God said it's free. It makes no sense to me for us to die when life's offer is free. Are you listening to me? He said that you must understand. And lastly, he said, listen, I'm standing at the door. And I'm knocking. And Jesus makes it clear. We'll leave Isaiah alone and look at Jesus. He says, in the day that I stand at that door and I knock, you got to let me in. My grandmother, we lived on the east side of town. She lived in a big old house there. I know grammatically that's not correct, big old house. You know, it's just a big house. But she never locked the front door. I don't even think they had a key. I don't think anybody knew where the key was. But she never locked the door. You know, I was growing up in school and they had this little safety class and they told us to lock your doors and stuff. And you know, I'm thinking, I'm going to tell you how old my grandmother's house was. To lock the door, it had a little thing inside the door where the little thing matches up at it. And you push the button in. To lock the door. That's old fashioned there. That's old. So, you know, I went to this little class, you know, I think I was in the fifth, sixth grade, and they said, you know, for safety's sake, you must lock your door. I locked the door. And I closed it, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I did a good deed. They're going to like me because I locked the door. Well, my grandfather showed up. And, you know, when you live in a house and you can't get in the house, that's not good. And the door was locked. And, you know, the words that he said cannot be spoken in the pulpit on Sunday. And you ought not never talk like he talked. But anyway, once the door got open, and naturally, you know, whenever something gets done, they got to find out who did it. Now, based on the way he was talking, I wasn't about to confess to the fact that I locked that door. I mean, I may play a fool on TV, but I'm not one in real life. And I thought to myself, why? My grandmother, so I, you know, as the embers of the fire had cooled, later I asked her, I said, Grandma, why did Granddaddy get mad about locking the door? She said, baby, listen, we don't lock that door. She said, because whenever somebody show up, they can come in. And I said, well, what about burglars and thieves? She said, ain't no burglars and thieves around here. She said, everybody know us. Anybody who come to this house is welcome to come in. She said, everybody know that. She said, baby, we don't lock no door. And she said, now, don't do that no more either. And I just said, yes, ma'am. The point is this. Why would you lock the Lord out and not let him in? Why do we make this offer so complicated? I'm saying to you, beloved of God, that the God of your salvation wants to be with you. And he wants you to be with him. So the Lord said that here's my offer. I want you to understand that if you just let me come in, I can change your whole life. And those of you who live in modern times understand that credit card companies will send you these pre-approved certificates. Am I right about it? And the certificate on the outside of the envelope, it says pre-approved line of credit up to $5,000. And you look at that and you think you're some man, pre-approved. And you open it up, you know, and no, you ain't got no business opening that envelope. Because you're already $10,000 in the hole. And they're not dumb. They know that if they give you $5,000, they always include a little certificate in there that says, pay off your other credit cards with this card. 3.9% for 6 months. And you know good and well, if you couldn't pay off that other $5,000 in 3 years, you ain't going to pay it off in 6 months. So it said pre-approved. And it said all you got to do is sign and return. And some of them are so smooth that they say you can call in and be accepted. You don't even have to fill out the application. And you know what you do? You sit by that phone a few days thinking to yourself, and you call and they say yes, and you get approved, and the card's on the way. I'm saying to you that the Lord has offered you pre-approval. All you got to do is accept him at his terms. But what I'm glad to inform you of today is that it is without cost. There is no interest rate. There is no late fee. There is no penalty. There is no period of punishment. But there is a grace period with God. I'm here to tell you now that it is the grace of God that woke you up this morning. It is the grace of God that started you on your way. It is the grace of God that put running in your feet, put clapping in your hand. And I'm glad to tell you this morning that I've accepted the offer of God. And if there's anybody in the house that wants to sign your certificate, you ought to stand on your feet this morning and tell God, I accept your term. Tell God I'm ready to move on. Tell God I'm ready to go up. Tell God I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Because there's an offer on the table that you cannot refuse. The doors of this church are open. And I want you to remain standing. I want you to, those of you who know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, I want you to remain standing as a great cloud of witness. If you know the Lord, I want you to stand to your feet. If you're able to stand, I know those who cannot stand. I understand that. But if you know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, I want you to stand. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to let you go here in a minute. I am convinced that if you accept the offer of the Lord, you must be proud of Him. You must be willing to let others know that you have made a decision for God. Young folks, there ain't no shame in your game. I don't understand how we can be blessed by so awesome a God and yet be so ashamed to identify with Him. We ought not have to ask you to stand at the reading of God's word. We shouldn't have to ask you, beg you to come to Bible study, come to church school, because you can do that. Some of you ain't never missed a day out of work. But how do you think you got that job? Huh? Some of you are so reliable in other things, but yet God suffers. Because we won't serve Him like we ought to serve Him. And when we ask you to stand, we ask you to stand to celebrate with us. When we ask you to give the Lord a hand praise, we ask you to praise Him because the Bible says when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And I'm telling you now that some of us don't praise God till we get to church. Some of you are ashamed to praise God publicly. Even in your own houses, some of you are ashamed to own Him. But you know, He says, come. If you're thirsty, come to the waters. If you need milk and honey, He says, come. It don't cost you nothing. For God so loved the world that He gave. I'm wondering today, what would you give Him? There's no cost, but what would you just give Him? Your faithfulness? Even right now, as we survey the congregation, those of you who are standing and those of you who just won't do it, there are choices that ought to be made. The day that you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. The grace of God is available to you today. Whatever you've done, God says, I'll forgive you. Whatever you've messed up, He says, I'll forgive you. But He says, I want you to decide today to give me your life. We invite you to come now to make that decision for the Lord. We invite you to give your life to God. Young man, young woman, don't hesitate today. Don't leave this church without the assurance of your salvation and the process beginning of your conversion. Don't walk out of the church today believing that you've got another chance on tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to get you while there's still breath in your body. The Lord loves you, every one of you. There are no big I's and little U's. There are no
persons who stand in any greater standing with God because of position. Nobody. Not even myself. I'm no greater than the Lord would let me be. Make a decision for the Lord today. Would you come? If you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior in your life, would you come this hour, right now, while we're standing? There's a great cloud of witnesses are standing before you who have made their decision. God bless you, brother. God bless you. To make a commitment to God is nothing to be ashamed of. I want you to come right now. If you've not made that decision, I want you to decide today. But then secondly, I want you to do this. In my spirit, I know why Lewis is there, and it just brought something to my attention. You know, when we started this message out, we told you about the fact that many of us came and joined the church, but we never got affiliated properly with God. And in my spirit, the Lord said, that's why he's come to get another relationship with God. I know that. I know that. He's not the only one. God bless you. Why don't you come? He's not the only one. You join the church, but you need to come to be with Jesus. Come on, come to Jesus right now. Come on, come to Jesus right now. Come on, ain't nothing to be ashamed of here. There are others who are standing and deciding even right now. Bless you, bless you. The Lord desires. Come on. Come on today, right now. Right now, in the presence of God and this witness. Why don't you come? Because I'm convinced of God that this is the time. This is the time. Would you come into Jesus right now? You've made a mistake. You've fallen away. You lost your way. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, the Lord is waiting. Come on, God bless you. Come on, that's it. Come on, bless the Lord. There you go. Bless you, my brother. Come on. Come on, God bless you. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? God is waiting for you. God is waiting. This is serious time. This is a serious time. The doors of the church are open. Whosoever will, let them come. Sometimes in life, you don't get many second chances. This is an opportunity to get it right. I told you before that I've thought in my life that if I could go back and right every wrong, I would write a letter to those people and apologize, and I would try to get it right. But this is an opportunity for you to get it right. The Lord loves you today. This is an offer you can't refuse. He's a God of second chances. Come on right now. Would you come? Bless your heart, daughter. Bless your heart. I sense in my spirit there are others. There are others, and I want to tell you, listen, it's no investigation here. This is just brothers and sisters in God together. Whatever it takes, God's willing to do that for you. You're looking for a church home today. You're looking for a place to be discipled in the Lord. We want to invite you to come now. We want to invite you. Because I believe that the Lord is showing us by such witnesses and these things that are occurring even in our midst right now that the process has begun, the building process to build a stronger and a greater people. If you're looking for a church home today, we invite you to come and join our family. We invite you to come because we want you to be here in a church that is growing where everybody afforded the opportunity to come to the Lord just as you are,
and to be somebody in the Lord. Because I believe that every person in this church has something to offer to the glory of God. You're not here by happenstance. You're here because the Lord has predestined your time. Would you come now? You hear his voice. Would you answer his call? Come to Jesus. Come just now. Why don't you come? Would you decide today, should the Lord arrive this day, would you be prepared to meet him? Could you stand before him in confidence, knowing that all things shall now be revealed? I wouldn't take a chance today. I wouldn't leave without knowing. Are you here today? Why don't you come?